and Mojo all up in this.
Be keeping it real, you know with the International House of Mojo. You best be listening to our show. Yeah.
Hi everyone, this is Jason Harang, aka that U word, and I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Chris the Tingler Capel, and currently in China, returning for the podcast, yay!
And I'm Jean-Paul Hansen, JP3O on the boards, and on Mojo. Nice to be here for the first time, calling from New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm Dan LT, and yeah, I'm just in boring old England.
Wow, truly international House of Mojo here.
That's it.
And this time around, we agreed that we're not going to apologize anymore when we cut each other off, because it's inevitable, given that we're all on Skype, and this is just a really bad way to do it in general, but it's the best we can, and so we're not going to waste any more time or be awkward about it like we were. At least that's the intention.
No problems.
Anyway, with that out of the way, so this past Tuesday, December 8th, saw the release of Rise of the Pirate God, which completed Tales of Monkey Island, and by extension, represents the first new full-fledged Monkey Island game in 9 years, for crying out loud, which is kind of a big deal to people like us. I don't know. We kind of had this. We kind of had a conversation about this when the game was first announced, but it's still kind of surreal to me.
I think we should start off by like talking about the chapter 5, and then we'll go for a few things on the whole season. What are our general thoughts?
Sure.
What do you think?
Sure. Yeah. Fair enough.
So, it will take us away.
I think JP, you did the review. It was a good review. Let's hear it.
Well, on the spot, there you go.
Any further thoughts?
No, it was. Now that I can mention spoilers and specifics in the in this, it's a little bit easier perhaps, because I tried to avoid anything specific after the initial doc sequence. So. Yeah, I mean, it was an enjoyable game, and the story, the twists and turns in the story, and the just the way they took the characters in places you wouldn't have expected them to take when the game was announced 6 months ago. I think it was amazing what they did, and the risks they took, taking those characters into those particular situations, killing off Guybrush, you know, bringing in another potential love interest. I thought it was, really, really good. And especially with Chapter 5, having Guybrush in various states of undead. So, absolutely top-notch story writing, definitely.
Yeah, I agree, man. Especially, I mean, the thing, it was something that was sort of amazing to me, because Jake had told me about it on IRC years ago. He had the idea of swapping the roles between them. And then, obviously, he's gone off to Telltale and got this job. And then, seemingly by coincidence, that's pretty much what's happened. And it was sort of sad in a way, you know, when he's in this sort of decaying body, and it was something new and it was different, and I really I got a kick out of that in a way.
I loved zombie Guybrush's stumbling walk, the zombie-esque movements. If you just put him to normal walk, it's absolutely beautiful. It's just slightly different from his normal walk, just a bit of a sort of a zombie-like stumble to him, if you look carefully. Anyone notice that?
I thought you were going to say, because I did notice it, but because I only finished it this morning, and the thing that stays in my mind from it is obviously the fight at the end. I should say, bit of a spoiler, but never mind.
We're all spoilers there, all finished.
Yeah, and there was some nice bit of stumbling around there, but obviously he was getting the crap kicked out of him then. But it was definitely, there was a lot of new stuff, I think, that was in this in terms of just the boring sort of technical stuff like the animations, you know. But it gave it a bit more life than some of the previous ones.
See through Guybrush.
Yeah, the ribcage, that was great.
And very ghosts of voodoo pirate, of voodoo island-esque, may I say.
Yeah, I wonder how Bill's feeling about all this, eh?
Well, I hope he'd be flattered in thinking that, oh, now people have got used to this in a tiny little chapter and have a full game based on it.
Yeah, I suppose in Germany, they probably got it first.
True. Oh, yeah, full game we're just playing Ghost Pirate.
Yeah, I think Ghost Pirates was announced first and technically released first.
Yeah. Sounds strange to us, but yeah. As Germany is the one country that we don't have talking about here. Yeah, I enjoyed it too.
Did anyone think that something I was surprised by, I was delighted by it too, was in the segments where Guybrush is going through all the different rifts that LeChuck caused when he completed his spell, it reminded me a lot of the ending of Loom, after Chaos forms the rift in the rip in the universe, and you're Bobbin going through all the holes and visiting all the old environments and the old characters, kind of like after the apocalypse.
Someone pointed that out.
Oh no, you've ruined the game for me. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, you haven't played it yet. It's been 20 years.
I'm busy.
I know. You see, it's behind a bit.
You really need to play Loom, man.
I have got the Steam version, but I haven't got around to playing it yet. Ugh. Apart from the first couple of scenes.
We've just done it.
Don't let me stop you with your anecdotes. That's fine.
I need to slip you a copy of the floppy disk version. It's better.
Probably ain't got a vampire story either.
Yeah.
Have you?
Wait, who here hasn't played a vampire story?
About JV?
I haven't played that either, no.
There we go.
I haven't, but...
none of you have?
I do support Bill Tiller, you know, psychologically, if not financially.
I will financially as soon as I can actually buy it.
Well, you can leave me to support him financially. You just have to submit your entry into our contest. That's all you have to do.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. I might have a new jingle this time.
What's that, Chris?
We might have a new jingle starting this time.
I think there's a good chance.
Well, we may or may not. It depends.
I think we've heard it, but we haven't heard it because we haven't picked the winner yet. But I think it's played at the start of this, if Zoran's doing his job properly.
Yeah, it's either going to be in this one or the next one, but this week we're going to pick a winner and we're going to announce it. So look forward to that.
Yeah, should have really done it live on air. That would have been the cool thing to do. But never mind. Next time we do a competition, we'll do it on the podcast. Announce a winner. And then be late anyway.
Yeah, that's...
Anyway. You know what else reminded me of Loom? I'm gonna mention Loom one more time.
I'll block my ears.
LeChuck's awesome ship. The design of his ship, in the climactic battle, it reminded me a lot of the forgery in Loom after it's taken over by the dead people.
Right, I know what you mean.
Or the dead ones, as the game calls it. Yeah, when it becomes like this sort of floating castle, this floating fortress.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really thought about the
rest. I didn't start up the game expecting to see so many similarities to Loom, so I guess I thought it was noteworthy enough.
I was thinking when I was playing it.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Well, I mean, in specific references, I mean... Is that the ferryman? Is he voiced by the same person as the ferryman in Curse of Monkey Island?
Oh, the flying Welshman.
He's not the flying Welshman.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe his design was meant to be a callback, but I don't think he's meant to be the same voice actor.
I've seen you before a couple of times.
Yeah.
I think that's just a joke.
I think that...
Every time he sees a skull...
Yeah, I think that's a joke along the lines of...
He basically asks a skull if it's Murray, kind of thing.
Right. And when he first meets Murray at the beginning of Curse, he asks if he can call him Bob. So I think it's kind of that sort of joke.
Actually, there was...
I was crossing fingers for a Murray appearance because they're going underwater again and... But never mind. I was happy with that.
Well, there was no point in ruining it because they handled him so well in that third episode. It was like
there's no room for him anymore.
No point.
Yeah, once he disappears, he goes into his little magical thing where he travels around vast distances, even though he's just ahead, so that he can appear in the next game wherever he is. Because if he was still there, you know, he'd just be stuck there forever.
His departure in Tails is so neatly handled too, you know.
Oh, never mind.
Probably would have caused more harm than good if they would have brought him back again.
Cool, yeah.
Wait, what about Stan?
Wonder what happened to him. Book it off somewhere.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway.
There was some. I really like the new characters who came into this, because I think, is it Galeb, was pretty interesting character, really fun to talk to.
I think it's a bit of an unanswered question with him, really. Is he based on anything in mythology, or is he just a weird character?
He seemed kind of simian.
Blues man, almost.
Yeah. Like
New
Orleans.
Very Caribbean,
at the crossroads,
yeah.
Robert Johnson sort of thing, but obviously not quite. But he gave me that vibe, just maybe a few too many whiskeys at the juke joint.
Is that typing? he just seemed to be much more important than he suggests. I don't know if he'll make a reappearance at any point in future series.
I would hope so.
He seemed a bit of a mystery, that character. When he's hiding LeChuck's spell.
I agree with what Dan says, though, that I think a lot of the new characters introduced in Tales were really good. Like, Winslow is really memorable. You know, Morgan. I think they did a good job of introducing new people that are actually, worth remembering and aren't just these little one-off people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For lack of a better
term. It's interesting you say that, though. I was just going to say, there was something I read that I think it was Jake who wrote it, actually, but it was on one of the forums about how there's characters in the new one, like the thief, who are intentional throwbacks to sort of Monkey Island 2, where you've just got the bartender and the guy in the woodwork shop, who don't have a huge backstory that you don't get to hear, but who are just, that's their character, that's who they are. It's in the name, the thief, he's a thief. And it's sort of the opposite of the extended character backstory that some of the other characters have been given in the series.
Right. One-off was a poor choice of words. I meant to say memorable rather than bland.
Nah.
What amused me was before, or the cliffhanger, when we were first introduced to the Pirate Hunter, and there was speculation for the full month about what returning character the Pirate Hunter was going to be. Carla or any other, and in the end, kind of seemed logical that it would be a new character, and I brought that up, and people didn't like to think that it would be a new character. They really wanted someone to come back, but I think most of those people will now be very happy that they were introduced to Morgan. She was a pretty cool, interesting character to have along.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was pretty obvious that Morgan was gonna turn back again this one. Especially as she died in pretty much exactly the same way that Guybrush did. Also, like the way in that they added loads of mystery to what Morgan said to Guybrush before she died, and it's just, and then Guybrush gets it completely wrong. Anticlimactic, but funny.
Yeah.
But Chuck killed me. No, Basinge killed you. So you told me. No, I didn't. Well, you were coughing a lot of blood up at the time. Yeah. Beautiful. One thing.
I love that joke in Club 41 that the bartender makes when Guybrush examines the blindfold, and he makes some remark about, I thought it's mandatory that you had to wear this, in reference to him having to put the blindfold on in the first episode, and it turns out that was just a gag. They write it off.
What was I going to say? Oh yeah, I was going to call Evans. That was something that you mentioned in the last podcast, Jason. I did listen to it, even though I wasn't part of it. Yeah, about the Pirates of the Caribbean references.
Oh yeah, I mean they were even more obvious this time around.
Voodoo Lady and the Crabs, specifically.
I was thinking of the boat itself was just like the ride itself in Disneyland.
Also Disneyland references back to the old. That's one of the big references.
I think they did a good job of paying tribute to that element of Monkey Island, that kind of theme park relationship.
Yeah,
that,
there's been all four games really. Yeah.
There was a great scene when Morgan departed and the next boat just pulled up right behind.
Yes.
That's the noise it makes.
Yeah, the clank, clank, clank of the chain, yeah.
Yeah.
I like the...
But yeah, the voodoo lady being represented as Krabs, and, you know, even just the idea of Guybrush being in the Land of the Dead and having to arrange some escape from it.
Yes. I was hoping for a Grim Fandango reference at some point, but unfortunately not. Were they allowed to make references to LucasArts games?
That's a good question. Well, I'm sure they sneak them in, because half of the...
They definitely have some.
Yeah, they've got to be allowed. I don't think there's any legal issue preventing them from making a joke.
Could be in there, but
it's a LucasArts.
I'm pretty sure that'd be protected.
Published by LucasArts anyway, so, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. LucasArts is involved, so they could do what they want, really.
Hmm. Put one in. Yeah, opposite. Sneak one in the patch. That made me happy. So, one thing, you know, what do we think of the puzzles?
Yeah.
I breezed through it pretty quickly. I did get stuck at one point, but that was turned out as because the hint system, which I accidentally left on, gave me a hint too early in the puzzle. It sent me somewhere that I didn't need to be, which was specifically the bar. It kept on telling me to scare the bartender, but it was completely useless at that time. So I was just wandering around the bar.
I don't have anything to remark on as far as the difficulty is concerned, but like, as far as the design of the puzzles, I enjoyed them a lot. But I was kind of surprised by how many of them were callbacks to the previous games. I mean, obviously you expect that to a large degree, but it seemed like an awful lot of the puzzles were just lifted directly from the previous games.
That's
kind of
what I felt,
to a degree I wasn't expecting. It was like, you know, you see the grog machine and you're like, oh, cool, they brought the grog machine back, and you know, you're able to pick up the dog and use him to sniff out the treasure you're looking for in the pile. And then you're using the glass jar to collect the firefly type things like in Curse of Monkey Island. I it's not like there's any specific puzzle that made me kind of get upset or anything. It's just, I think the sheer volume of them, I just found it kind of noticeable.
Yeah.
Like maybe they went a little bit too far.
Familiar but, was the word I used in my review.
Yeah.
Just everything seemed to be from somewhere else or something else. Not that was necessarily a bad thing. I thought that the little insult sword fight was brilliant. I mean, it was easy because there was only one obvious option that would work.
Right.
But... people have been asking for insult sword fighting the whole season long. I mean, the face-off was very similar anyway, but just to have a little cameo of that, I thought was very nicely done. But once again, nothing new to the table there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Monkey Island tradition to reuse puzzles like that. And of course, the climax of the game where you're being chased by LeChuck, you know, in the different rooms, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how...
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, I love that kind of thing. I just think that there's sort of a line and that Telltale maybe crossed it every once in a while. But I bet that's a really difficult, tricky balance to maintain as well.
In fact, the end, you reminded me, it was quite like CMI again with the going to the different parts of the, like the roller coaster. Yeah.
Right, the roller coaster and LeChuck's revenge in the different parts of the tunnel.
You know,
while he's chasing you, while you're trying to assemble the voodoo doll. I just think there are times where it kind of leaped from respectful homage to outright ripoff. I don't consider it a glaring problem or anything, but it is something I did notice.
Yeah.
The thing that bothered me the most was that it was traveling around, and that because I got stuck quite a lot. and had trouble with it, and it was mostly because I just not thought to go back to the place I'd just come from, because I hadn't expected something to have changed there, like, you know, the crabs appeared. Yeah, some people have had problems finding the dog, but I actually, that was the first place I went when I started.
No, not finding the dog, but every time the dog would solve you a puzzle, then it would run off, so you have to go and chase it three screens away and pick it up, then it would run off again. That drove me nuts. There was no point in that other than to look around the rooms trying to find where the bloody dog had run to.
Yeah. It was like that with the one at the end, though, where you had to reanimate the body, and you have to sort of keep going back to each different rip to do a different little piece of the chain of events that are finally sort of free him.
A lot of backtracking involved.
Yeah. And so it
feels... Yeah, everyone was like, pick up an object and then take it to the crossroads, or pick up an object and give it to the sponge. There wasn't a lot of variation in the overall, you know, the big pieces of the puzzles coming together.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot easier. I just happened to have pretty much everything in my inventory for both of those ones. I think I had to pick up, like, one other thing. And, like, the gum in the case of shrinking the sponge. But all the other things I just happened to have in my inventory. I just used it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right about the sort of throwbacks, man, because when you said the gum, it reminded me of another one that I sort of realised at the time was there's the thing with the jail cell and having to get there with the mug with the grog in that was just like the first one. And I thought that's what the puzzle was going to be, but I was wrong about that. But that was another thing that was a real throwback to the first two.
Yeah, and that's a good example of them kind of mixing the old with the new in a really great way, where, you know, it kind of reminds you of the old games, and but it's sort of a different puzzle.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's a lot of great examples of that, you know, to Telltale's credit.
Absolutely.
In all five episodes.
One of my favorite scenes is in the jail when he's in there with Bug Eye and he's rubbing his mug up along the jail bars, just driving him nuts, cracking me up. And then he had to whisper it afterwards after told to shut up. That was brilliant.
I like to put him in there. Oh no! I like it when you threaten the barkeep after Buggo's gone and he chucks the cash register at you. That's about it.
I didn't even try that. I never think to do these things.
I thought, I wonder what happened. I thought it was that part of the puzzle, then he just knocks you out by chucking the entire cash register at you. Which might be a...
Speaking of going back and trying everything you didn't do, I'm really looking forward to playing the episode is all over again as you know, a Monkey Island 5.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to hold up all in one, because all the things, like the amount of the jungle puzzles and just the little, like, I think it would be possible to do the Feast of the Senses and then do the Diet of the Senses or whatever it was called in a really short space of time to each other, and it would just seem really just the same thing again. Whereas with a month between it, you think, oh, it's a bit of a twist. If it was just the next chapter,
maybe, but you know that whole idea of him having to make the concoction for the sponge and then having to do like a reverse version of it—that's sort of something that is true of all the Monkey Island games.
Yeah, at the ending,
you know, making the voodoo doll twice, making the ultimate insult twice, you know, the second time always being some weird substitute version of it.
I think that's really good puzzle design, where it sort of teaches you how to do something and then says, we're not going to help you this time.
Right.
You've got to find the ingredients or whatever yourself, which it was sort of more limited. I mean, I it's not a complaint necessarily, even. I'd be really interested to play them all, you know, when the DVD comes out, probably play through them again. But as a single game, I think there's going to be some bridging issues with it.
There's your credit sequences in the middle of each one.
Yeah, there's only really one that's worth seeing again, and that's right in the middle, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't mind them like taking the Murray one and putting it at the end of level 5. There's no reason they can't work there as well.
One thing I thought was lacking with the puzzles in this particular chapter is My favourite puzzles are the ones where you know you've got to do and you think you've got everything sorted and you combine your objects or you put your object in a certain place, and then what you thought was going to solve the puzzle doesn't solve it at all. It just opens up a whole new extension to the puzzle, and the designers are one step ahead of the player. They know what the player's going to do. They know the player's feeling pretty cool about themselves having solved the puzzle, and then they just beat you back down again. And yeah. I didn't find any of that kind of one step ahead. The puzzle designs weren't one step ahead of me in this last round at all. It was just obvious what you had to do, and then you did it, and then you moved on to the next part. So that was, I think, what I missed the most about the puzzles in this this chapter.
The ship took me a while, though.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah.
It took me a while, but
is that because it was a tough puzzle, or just because you didn't have time to
what things you actually needed, basically.
But that it did delay you by sort of forcing you to wait until you were in the right location to be able to do the next little piece of your...
That's
ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I thought... I did touch on my review, and it's probably not fair to an adventure game, but I didn't think there was any real tension. I mean, there's tension the first time around, but by the third or fourth time you're being keel-hauled, wondering how to get those keys, you kind of lose the momentum almost. You know, you're just kind of, I've got to go through all this crap again to try and get back to that spot so I can have another go at trying to get the keys. And Telltale have done, not in a finale, but Telltale have in the past done some great, real action puzzles that really feel like there's a real dynamic thing going on. The cow race was one, and there's also one...
Right, the cow race.
Yeah,
the cow race itself. The launch of the screaming narwhal puzzle in Desinge's office. Everybody points to that one as being noteworthy.
I think of finales in Telltale games. I'm trying to think of what Sam and Max Season 2's was.
Well, there was one Sam and Max that had that feeling. I can't remember which one it was, but Max was going all over the place, bouncing all over the show and getting knocked out, if I recall. It was a while back. But there was one, I think it may have been in the first season even, where the finale, there's a big machine somewhere in the room. I can't quite recall what it was.
Oh, is that the very first episode or the very last one? I can't remember them.
Wait, describe it a little further.
Oh
maybe.
Man, was it a machine manufacturing something or other?
That's episode 3.
The toy factory.
And wasn't Max getting knocked out all the time, or Sam was being knocked out, and Max was going wild, or something? There was some real mayhem going on in the final scene of one of those games. And not that I can remember what bloody game it was, but.
And I know exactly what you're talking about, JP. Those puzzles where they I don't know.
It just feels frantic. It feels frantic the whole time you're trying to solve the puzzle. And
they're sort of like these action puzzles.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all contrived, and there's no real action going on. But the way that the puzzles are timed, it just feels like madness. But I didn't get that feeling in the final part of Pirate God, where I think that would have really improved the puzzle if I really felt that tension. And that sense of mayhem the whole way through it.
It was much, much better than Wallace and Gromit's, though. Finale. The middle of Idle episode, though, I have to say. Has anyone played that yet?
I haven't played any of these games.
Yeah, not even the Monkey Island ones.
No, I'm I read the review, so I've got a pretty good idea of what happened, but yeah.
No, the Wallace and Gromit finale really got my nerves.
Monkey Island, isn't that a level in Monkey Ball?
I think it's some of the parts of the Caribbean, I'm not sure. Was it the book? I don't know.
How does it compare to Defenders of Dinatron City?
Or Ball Blazer.
Nobody got that one. Okay.
Ball Blazer, Ball Bluster, whatever. So LeChuck apparently was telling the truth about the Voodoo Lady.
That's true. It seems that way.
Yeah, I honestly didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I was totally wrong about that in my prediction in the last podcast.
There was something that...
It didn't bother me as much as I thought it would, though.
It didn't bother me.
Because I was the one who said that...
Interesting.
Yeah. I was the one who said that I wouldn't have liked the idea of the Voodoo Lady being some mastermind and the retconning that it would entail, but I'm actually much cooler on the idea now.
Some people were unhappy, though, I think.
See, I'm not sure that it does involve much retconning, to be honest. I think it could fit.
Right. That's what I've come to. That's what I've come to realize.
It's I think was it in the fourth episode? It seemed quite strange because at the time you sort of, or Guybrush at least, trusted LeChuck, and then he explained that the Voodoo Lady was behind everything, and then she basically gave you a spell and you had to do it, which seemed really at odds with the knowledge you'd just been given. And then again in this one, she kind of comes, and you can understand why he would want to listen to her in this one, because he can't really get any worse than being dead. But there is definitely been an extra layer added in terms of what the player's been shown there now, where you know LeChuck is still LeChuck, but there's still something funny going on with that character that they've left it wide open to explore again. So.
Maybe they're just being another season.
Yeah, unless they're just being cruel, which is possible.
Possible. I don't. I think they will do another one. Just, what are they going to call it, though? I mean, well, what are we going to call it? I presume they're going to carry on calling it Tales of Monkey Island.
Yeah,
I suppose.
What are we going to have to call it? Tales of Monkey Island Season 2? That sounds wrong.
Unleashed.
I doubt they're going to call it Season 2.
Yeah, more Tales of Monkey Island.
Additional Tales of Monkey Island. Subsequent Tales of Monkey Island.
It's just the appendix.
They may bring in a full season title like they've done with Sim and Max retroactively. And
right, that... Yeah.
That'd be quite cool. I like that, Andrew. That's a good idea. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to think of a title for it now. That's going to drive me mad.
Of Monkey Island. Yeah. It's got nothing to do with Monkey Island, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's
Monkey
a good point.
Monkey Island 5, LeChuck's Reckoning, or something like that.
You know, that hadn't even occurred to me.
LeChuck's Redemption. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, what was I going to say? I've forgotten
that. Oh, yeah. Getting back to puzzles, though, and sort of referencing Goose Pirates of Voodoo Island again. I don't feel that they did enough with the ghost pirate, zombie pirate thing, being able to change between the two. That was one disappointment after coming away from this episode. I feel they could have done a lot more puzzle-wise by having those two forms.
Yeah, I feel that I sort of realised today that I think if it had been a standalone game, there would have been the equivalent of at least the last two games would have been that interplay between the two, the point after when you're dead, because there could have been the whole voodoo resurrection thing or something. Or it could have been explored a lot more than just in the last episode, which is not a problem, but it's sort of a shame, because it was really, that was a really interesting place to take the story, and you can have so much fun with the concept as well. That's the other thing. For a comedy game, there's so much humor in the idea of becoming a zombie.
That's why I mentioned Ghost Pirates. I don't know if they had their eye on that and didn't want to step on their toes too much.
Well, Ghost Pirates was clearly built from the ground up to have that sort of Day of the Tentacle-like mechanic behind it, where you're switching between various characters and, you know, doing that stuff.
Yeah, so it leaves me hope, because that's almost like saying Rise of the Pirate God is a demo for that game. Or what could be, not to downplay Rise of the Pirate God, but you know what I mean. Yeah, saying if you like playing around with Ghost Pirate Guybrush, buy Bill Tilda's next game. When it comes out in English. Which it will, won't it? Is that March?
Yeah, I think so.
UK anyway. Anyway, shall we go to things we think of for the season as a whole?
Sure.
Liked it?
Yes, pretty much.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It was in a really fortunate position, which put me off slightly, because I didn't want to get ahead of myself. But really, following the EMI, there was not much it could have done wrong. And that made me think maybe I was overestimating it or something. But it is really,
ouch.
It's really good, I think. I'm really impressed overall. I didn't want there to be another game. I don't share. And now that there is one, I'm glad that there is.
I don't share Dan's disdain for EMI, but I do agree that, I mean, it's tough shoes to fill, making a Monkey Island game. You almost take it for granted. I mean, making a Monkey Island game that's even passable is a pretty major accomplishment, and I don't think anybody would call Tails, you know, merely passable.
No.
So, I mean, I have some problem with Tails, but I think overall it's an excellent addition to the franchise, and I think Telltale ought to be really proud of what they managed to accomplish. And I can't wait to see more if, you know, they're going to be making more.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. Any other things?
Well, Dan, didn't you want to talk about, you know, this game in relation to the ending of LeChuck's Revenge and maybe how it possibly pertains to the Ron Gilbert vision of the Monkey Island series, etc.?
I possibly said that. I don't remember saying it. It sounds like something I might have said.
I was just going to say that the whole... Go ahead.
No, I think you've probably got something to say, where I was just going to try and think of something to say, so go on.
Well, I think the whole idea of toggling between two worlds, you know, in this case, the world between the living and the dead, is sort of calling back to the implication that was being made by the ending of LeChuck's Revenge.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of going back to an idea that was being put forth by that game that the third and fourth games kind of had to back away from.
Right, okay. I think that's quite interesting, actually, yeah. Because, especially CMI had to sort of completely disregard it, just because it was the only way they could really make a functional game, I suppose. And then EMI was in its own little bubble of sanity. And then they were able to sort of go back to... I think they picked the bits that worked out of all of the previous ones and just kind of stuck them into one package. So what it does quite well for people like me, who are these kind of miserable old people who are only interested in the old games, is it sort of manages to make you feel nostalgic without actually really... It's quite a subtle little thing. It makes you feel nostalgic for a new game without actually making it doesn't look like it's trying to do that, but it does, if you see what I mean. It's like a side effect bonus that they've managed to put in there, if that makes sense.
No.
I don't.
A new game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't think they were making this for people like me who only really are interested in these ones that are 10 years old. But I think that at the same time, it appeals to them. They've done a really good job of making it appeal to the new generation of people, and also making it appeal to the people who liked, you know, who were there in sort of 1990 or whenever it was and played that the first one. I think that both of those groups of people would really enjoy what's there.
And cheated all the way through, in my case.
Yeah.
Not my finest hour.
I cheated all the way through the first one. It's just...
Yeah.
It wasn't on the internet, it was phoning people up and saying, how do I do this bit? How do I do that?
I had a walkthrough from like Amiga Power magazine or something.
Yeah.
Never mind. I could make a tones about like 10 years later when I bought the bounty pack and couldn't remember a single puzzle.
I remember when I first played Secret on a friend's Amiga, that stupid monkey got stuck in the ocean behind our rowboat and wouldn't go back on land. We didn't realise it was a bug at that point, so we couldn't get him to pull the nose down on the totem pole, so we were stuck on that, like, for months.
We need another bounty pack is what we need.
Yeah.
Now that we got 5 games.
I think that's probably going to head to Steam next year, I would have thought.
Probably a pack of all of them.
Probably. I'm just saying, I'd love to see a boxed, you know,
I don't know about boxed,
plunder
but,
pack or whatever they're going to fucking call it.
Sure. I mean, JP, we probably had it best because there was one in the sort of Antipodes, I believe, that had all 4 games in a sort of ultra rare box.
Yeah, that's right. Monkey Island.
Yeah, it was something just collection. Australia, right?
Yeah, Aussie and New Zealand, we had it. It was awfully packaged. And this huge box was like about a metre long by about half a metre high. It was... was terrible.
And inside it was just like paper sleeves and jewel cases, right?
Yeah.
But it had the awesome box. That was the thing. Well, but, it was just that one box that nobody else had.
Huge, and it had like a tiny little CD case in it with all of them in it.
Yeah, it was
like a tenth of the size. But it was still cool.
Yeah, it's...
See, my first copy of Monkey Island came from the Classic Adventures pack, and the rest of them I bought individually.
You can still get Curse and Escape, I think, in the UK.
Yeah, you can.
Look around, yeah.
I don't think you can get them here anymore. It's pathetic.
Up until a few years ago, we had a double black box edition of Secret and Escape. Secret and The Truck's Revenge. Both games on one CD, compiled on one CD. Monkey Island Madness, it was called.
Oh, wow.
So I've got that kicking around here somewhere.
But yeah, I know what you're saying, Dan, that it's probably going to make more economic sense, and we should probably only expect LucasArts to put them out, to re-release them digitally. But I mean, I just think if there's any time opportune for re-releasing the game in stores and maybe reminding the world that they exist, I think this would be the best time to capitalize on it. And it would just really excite me to see a Monkey Island box on the shelf.
It would be quite easy for them to release all sort of five of them, depending on the details of their arrangement with Telltale and how it works, but there's nothing I would have thought to stop them doing it as some kind of tandem release where you could effectively walk into a shop and pick up all five of them. Which would be cool. I think it would be a bad business decision, but it would be really cool for people like us.
I saw Sam and Max Season 1 on the Wii here yesterday. It's a China we're talking about. Which quite surprised me.
I don't think that disproves anything Dan just said, though, because I don't think the Wii version of Sam and Max did very well.
It was interesting because they didn't actually have Wiis here. That's why it's interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty...
All the games for me to see just randomly in China. Yeah.
Coming from someone who doesn't know anything about this from a feasibility standpoint, I think you could get away with putting out a box copy of Monkey Island just as a re-release.
I think if they do it, they'll do
it. You know, if they do it, they're not going to spend a whole lot of money on it. You just got to put everything on a DVD.
I think they do it, they'll do Tales separately and then do the other four games as their own little pack. That'd make the most sense to me.
They seem quite savvy, these guys, though, at LucasArts now, and they might think that putting EMI out again would harm their brand name. They want to keep that one secret, like they used to keep all the other ones secret.
Well, if they mix it in with the other three, then no one will notice.
I'm only playing Devil's Advocate, really.
But no, I don't think they do, because talking about them being savvy, they know full well that the best revenue they're going to get is not by putting them in the shops.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Hopefully it's by remaking them and shipping off the ones that aren't remade to Telltale to make a season. Because I'd love it if they held off doing another season of Monkey Island to do, you know, Loom or Day of the Tentacle or anything, really.
Or Sam and Max, as it's...
Yeah, I'm sort of sick of Sam and Max.
Or something new.
Something, different.
Oh yeah, I love that as well.
Oh, but yeah, I can't get enough Sam and Max, because, I mean, you know, the first two seasons have been really good.
After Monkey Island, I'd like to see what they can do next with it.
I mean, Sam and Max, the other thing about Sam and Max is the kind of thing you could conceivably do forever, provided that they keep, obviously, the quality up. But, I mean, like, Sam and Max is going to last as long as you can come up with some bizarre case for them to solve. And there's really no end of the...
Do you think they may do a bit more of an overarching story in the next season, a more like Tales. I know that each one's an individual case as far as the chapters go, but
I hope so.
Perhaps they will make them a little less self-contained.
I don't know if you played Season 2. Season 2 actually did a pretty good job of being an overarching storyline.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll take it even further, but I mean, Season 2, I mean, it didn't feel like the episodes were that self-contained at all to me.
No, I know what you mean. I just hope they go even further towards that, towards more Tales, I think, because Wallace and Gromit did really feel like they were just not... No, they weren't rehashing the same occasions, but...
I think that's fine, too, though. Like, depending on the license, like, if they decided to make an original IP and it was something like I don't know, Indiana Jones or something.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say that.
I'm just saying.
God, do that.
Yeah, but Chris, when you think about Indiana Jones movies, they're not really linked together, or like James Bond or something.
That would be so cool.
But what I'm saying is that I could see franchises that might lend themselves to being, you know, these self-contained adventures rather than, you know.
I think Indiana Jones.
I love what they did with Tales, but you don't have to link them all up in this story.
I'm just saying that. I like the idea of them doing Indiana Jones and having like a sort of a little serial type thing.
That wasn't the reaction.
I really didn't mean to suggest that they were using Indiana Jones at all. I was just using an example. In terms of a format.
So that's a TF if you too.
There is something that I did consider, which is the complete opposite of the last thing I said, which is if they were to do another season of Monkey Island, I think doing it immediately is possibly the best thing they could do, because the second one, as far as I'm aware, is the only one where they sort of went straight into it and said, we've done the first one, let's do another one. And it didn't suffer from any kind of setup problems where they're like, okay, where are the characters, what's happening? It just said, we know where they are, let's carry on. And it launched into a story that for a lot of people is probably the best one, or at least, you know, a lot of people like it. No one would say it's a bad game. And CMI and EMI both had that thing of, right, it's been a few years, where are we? Where should we start? And it kind of had to set it up again, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Right, it would be the first time since Monkey Island 2 that they made a Monkey Island game back-to-back and with pretty much the same team.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because
if they did do another one, they'll do it within the next year.
Yeah, I suspect that they will be hitting Monkey Island again, because you get the impression that all parties involved were happy with the results.
Yes. We were too. Which is good.
Very much, yeah.
Any general dislikes about the season? Something that you just noticed and was hoping was resolved and wasn't?
I'd say there was one thing. I wasn't one of these people who was complaining about the character reuses, because it really wasn't bothering me until the last episode, where I went to the treasure place and thought, oh, it's that Doro. He's here. He's looking for.
Oh, yeah.
And then I spoke to him and I was like, this really isn't him, but it looks exactly like him, and here he is looking for treasure. And that was the only time it bothered me. And suddenly I thought, if everyone else has been experiencing this in the previous ones, that must have driven them insane.
That the first episode. Because there's one point in the first episode where Winslow and whoever the previous... and one of the other characters...
Oh, is it Nipikin?
It might have been walked next to each other. And they just looked like twins. And I was hoping there was going to be some joke about them all... or being brothers or inbred or something like that.
Well, yeah, it's a very small island and they can't leave that island, so it makes sense. There would be some inbreeding going on Flotsam.
It would be fine. I would have been happy for some sort of explanation, but they just carried on with it. They did a job of disguising it, particularly in episode 3. The lot of the Leviathan, Noogie and that lot.
Yeah, I think that's my favourite one, actually, out of all five.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, same.
Jason, what's your favourite? Do you agree?
My favourite what?
Episode.
I thought we were talking about the degree to which
the other two disagree,
model reuse bothers.
Yeah. Well, no, Karen as well. Yeah. So, which one's your favourite of the five, then? Do you agree with this about three?
Oh, I don't know, because I really do think of Tales as one game. I mean,
the romantic vision.
See, it would be interesting to break one of the earlier ones up into sort of five roughly equal parts, and I'm sure you could even take Monkey Island 2 and there would be one chapter at least that was just kind of crap on its own. And so it would be interesting to look and see, because it is slightly unfair, because it is one story, and it's slightly unfair to break it up and judge it on these separate little quests.
I was always disappointed by the fairground in Curse of Monkey Island. Just one screen Boom. I thought I'd been cheated by that.
Yeah, but I think the chapter lengths were treated more arbitrarily in the previous games. In Telltale's case, they kind of have to make each episode roughly the same length for obvious reasons.
That's true.
But I think, yeah. I mean, they could make a joke out of it in the older games. You know, the last chapter usually tended to be like this one puzzle affair. So that element was lost, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think otherwise, I suspect the approach they took would... very similar to what they would have taken if it had been released as a single product.
I mean, it would have been different if they, because they would have had to sit down and look at the flow of it, and they would have said, "Hold on, jungle puzzle. We're using the spell puzzle twice."
But,
that's not a complaint. I'm not saying that. But if it was one game where they were releasing it as one, there's no way that they would have made those decisions. I don't think they would.
I mean, there were jungle puzzles in the other games.
Yeah, there were, but there weren't...
If we're just talking about jungle puzzles here.
No, it's just that feeling of the same adventure kind of game logic being applied to separate ones. And it's a different puzzle. It's completely different, but it's the same architecture, if you see what I mean, being reused. Maybe I'm... You know, I might just be picking it apart too much because I don't... honestly have a problem with it. It's not something that bothered me.
Well, I understand what you're saying about reusing the maze, but I just don't see how that relates to designing the game as a whole versus as episodes.
Because I'm sure in the sort of design meetings you have to structure the flow of what happens, and someone would have said, really, another one? We've just done that. But, you know, clearly... They know a lot more about these things than me. I mean, people like Grossman, he's pretty much as much of an expert as you can get at this kind of thing. So the fact that it didn't bother me is more sort of evidence that it's, there's nothing wrong with it. But
it would
really,
be different if they did a full game. And it would come out differently if they did it all with one.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be exactly the same.
Better and worse, yeah. You said here they had a chance to like respond to the fans.
But
I think
Tales works. I think Tales does work really well as a full game.
I think so. It's exactly what I've been hoping. Whatever they're called, we're going to do since they've started. I mean, I've been looking at doing straight episodic stuff, and I've just wanted them to do a sort of. Going by Grim Fandango, do a year one, year two, year three type of thing, rather than just small TV-like stories for each one. I mean, Sam and Max Season 2 got close, as all the other ones have been simple stories with just a couple of new locations and characters for each. Sometimes they were new characters. This is exactly what I wanted them to do, really.
And I think the license should dictate that. You know, Monkey Island is sort of this epic saga type of thing, so you kind of want this, you know, epic storyline. Where something like Wallace and Gromit, or maybe some other example, not Indiana Jones, I guess, but you know, I think like some licenses, maybe the sitcom approach would work. And I just, you know, it's still really early as far as what Telltale's going to accomplish, I think. I mean, it's still early days for them, and it'll be really interesting to see...
8 in the morning?
...the different variety of, I guess, licenses that they're going to work with and how they're going to execute them. Because we've still only... Because it's been kind of limited so far. I mean, we've done these adventure game licenses, and, you know, the closest to a serious game we've had is CSI and Bone. And I just think it'll be really interesting to see... where Telltale takes their format in the future.
I would like them to see Bone, because chapter 3 was when it started to get serious and more epic. So I was just interested to see what they would have done with that. Never mind.
I mean, I guess Bone's kind of comparable to Monkey Island in the way that
that
seriousness is married with humor.
Hmm.
I mean, the humor isn't the same, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the way that they kind of juggle between those two things. I think that they're kind of similar in that regard. So I guess CSI would be the only franchise they've worked with that I called serious.
I know if I don't. I never liked CSI, so that's the reason I never played them. Hello?
Hello?
I'm hearing an echo somewhere. No way.
I'd say I'd really like it to see them do something of their own, something original.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think all the licenses they've had have worked, from their business sort of tactics, they've worked. For every benefit, there's a sort of a drawback, because they're appealing to things that already have an established fan base. But at the same time, it makes it slightly inaccessible, perhaps, to people who aren't familiar with whatever the source material is. And I think if they did something completely original and it got good reviews, it would open a lot more doors for them to get a bit of money to sort of increase the scope and be able to do some of the things that I know some of their fans want them to do. You know, things like the...
Plus, they clearly have the talent to pull something like that off.
I agree, yeah.
I don't know if either this or Sam Max have been a drawback, not knowing the license. I mean, both of them can easily be played without knowing any of the previous games, or, in Sam Max's case, his comics.
Yeah, but that's something that happens to be the case, but if you're someone who goes along and say, who's Sam and Max, and it's you're not familiar with them, it just is something where it puts you off, where you think, okay, I might not need it, but am I going to be missing out on something? Am I going to miss a few in-jokes?
There's a movie and TV-like mindset to a lot of people would like come to computer games and think, oh, that's the fifth Tomb Raider, I better play the first few first.
Yeah.
Another issue
with licensed characters is in that, generally speaking, you won't be able to kill anybody off at the end of an episode or have a relationship that's gonna. I guess Tales kind of showed that you can, but everything at the end of a season's pretty much got to be back to where it was at the start of the season, so that you can carry on. Or if they choose to go with a different video game company for a future game.
That did annoy me slightly on this one.
You know?
Having the reset button with Guybrush, particularly his hand. I was hoping his hand would stay as a
hook. Yeah, absolutely.
And Lefty would still be around somewhere, causing havoc. Thing-like.
I was actually expecting the hook to be permanent as well.
And hoping next season he'd lose a leg, and after that an eye, and slowly become more of a real pirate as time goes on.
I think the eye would be, yeah. Yeah, the hook was useful. Yeah, but no. Yeah, a little bit of a reset button there, but at least they... I'm getting a lot of buzz. Someone hoovering in the background.
This is, top quality mojo.
Oh, there we go. Apparently that guy died.
Okay, I forgot what we're talking about now after that. Monkey Island, yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Things. But I would have been more annoyed about the reset thing if they hadn't carried on and said, yes, the voodoo lady is dastardly. So at least there is some changes there.
The other sort of potentially worrying thing, which might not be the case, but is the fact that they may have removed any kind of peril from the series now, that you know that you can be killed and just come back. Maybe I'm just... It would be hard to explain a situation where he could die and not...
It's an adventure game, so you never really can die, and Guybrush was never really going to die permanently.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
It comes back every season.
Yeah.
I mean, Morgan was the only one I was surprised at.
I mean, this was always a series where you had ghosts... So I guess you could say that was always true.
That's true. That was something interesting, was the idea, I'm sure someone mentioned in the last episode, the idea that he didn't use his own shred of life to come back. Well, did I imagine that? He didn't.
Use the ring. Yeah, he used his engagement ring, didn't he? That he's been carrying with him since...
I'm talking about LeChuck. Did he have one?
It wasn't his food, was it?
LeChuck just came back as a straight ghost.
But he still had to, he had to use the spell though, the same one that was. I'm sure I must have imagined.
Then he just came. Then he just came back as a straight ghost pirate.
No, yeah, he went back, but in order to do it, I'm sure. It must have been some throwaway line that I misunderstood. So, yeah, never mind that.
No, I think there was a line like that in the game. I think I know what you're talking about.
LeChuck still had a shred of life, apparently. But exactly the same way that Guybrush did.
See, because there was something that it was possibly a red herring in the game, but at the start really got my attention was that the thief, there was a tombstone there, which seemed like a weird place to have one, considering it was outside of the kind of gateway. But then it wasn't elaborated on. I thought that was something really interesting, where there was someone
The secret was what I was hoping to know about. That was a bit of a...
yeah.
A secret in a Monkey Island game. Especially with Luke, because I was going on about in that last interview, saying how, we're going to reveal the secret at some point.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that even means, but we'll see, I guess.
I was expecting something big, but...
Maybe he was just referring to that box in the game.
Yeah, just trying to wind us up.
Yeah.
I would love that if that was true. LucasArts just trying to wind us up.
They've done a pretty good job of it over the last 10 years, really.
Oh yeah, but intentionally this time.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think they can ever top their success in that regard. Oh. I think they pretty much plateaued there.
Yeah. Well, let's just touch wood for a second. Well, you never know with LucasArts.
I noticed that they're hiring now on their website.
I don't blame them.
Are they rebuilding an internal team?
Hopefully they're hiring some artists.
All of the people that they fired last year.
It seems like every other year LucasArts is firing everyone in their staff
and rehiring,
getting a new president, and then rebuilding their
but
team.
Yeah, but they seem to be rebuilding the team, at least.
Oh, it's one way to build up a sense of camaraderie and things, isn't it? It's just to give everyone the sense that they...
But there's still clearly people there. Because, like, when you know, Staff of Kings and Monkey Island Special Edition were being marketed, you know, you saw all those interviews with that gaggle of producers and that one sound guy. Like, there are people there who are working on something.
I think that's actually...
But what the hell is it? Is it just lucidity? And Handsome Halibut?
It's
whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, probably was Force Unleashed. But I do kind of like this. I like the idea of LucasArts just having this team devoted to like these experimental, low-budget stuff. And just being smart enough to outsource, you know, Monkey Island to Telltale and, you know, their AAA Star Wars games to other studios. Because, I mean, I'm not a big Star Wars gamer, but I know that in general, the high-quality ones tend to be the outsourced ones anyway.
Yeah, I played the GameCube Flight Sim ones, and they were really good, but they were not made by LucasArts, so...
And you know, you got Knights of the Old Republic, and you know,
it's
almost like they're starting to recognize that. I don't know. I think it's great that they're smart enough to know that. Oh, Monkey Island license. You know, let's give this to the people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know,
it is the kind of decision
whatever they're working on in house.
They would never have made that. You know, by our old reckoning of them, that was as likely as them just giving the rights to Ron Gilbert for his birthday or something. It was crazy, but they're definitely taking steps, you know, to kind of... I think they're masquerading it because really it's a very cheap way for them to make money because they don't have to go through these long development cycles. But I don't have a problem with it because as a side effect, we get some good games.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, you can say there's no risk in them, you know, just letting their original IP not die, but then... If it was so easy, why haven't they been doing it for the past 10 years, you know? So you do have to give them credit.
Absolutely.
Or at least, whether it's easy or not,
Can I just ask LucasArts, why haven't you released LEGO Indy 2 and The Force Unleashed on Steam? That's just puzzled me.
We're going to be waiting quite a while for an answer, though, because they're not listening to us.
I'm sure someone there must be. Hopefully, isn't it?
That would be amazing.
We need a podcast page.
There will be one in this hypothetical new site that we're potentially going to make.
I prefer to think that nobody is listening to this podcast. It's just us.
I'll send it to my mum.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I like JP's mom, so that's cool.
Hey,
yeah,
how well do you know her?
Classy lady right there.
That's a long flight. Euphemism not intended.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's just unusual.
Is there anything else Monkey Island related we want to hit on?
not my mom.
Well, how about this? We talked about how the possibility of there being a new season. What are our hopes and dreams for Monkey Island 6? Where do we want to go this?
I want to find out who Galeb is for a start.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting.
Just for nostalgia's sake, I would like to see Telltale remodel one of the existing islands from the previous four games.
I'm hoping for Monkey Island. I'm very surprised Monkey Island didn't make an appearance in this last episode.
So you want to return to the Tri Island area?
Unless...
Yeah, just for a peek. You know, maybe not. Just maybe as a cameo, or just maybe the opening scene or something. Just have a look around how Telltale interpret one of those classic locations.
Yeah, that's a really nice idea.
We do need to check on Timmy the Monkey and H.T. Marley again.
Yeah, there's... Oh, yeah, that's so Marley. Yeah, they just sort of leave those monkeys hanging here a little bit. That's been announced a bit.
Yeah, those monkeys are always getting abandoned. They're left to die, or they're left at
home. And are they Monkey Island monkeys?
Or they're just left hypnotized?
I was expecting more of the monkeys in the final chapter, I have to say. I thought they were building up to something, but they just... Yeah. I know, they ripped open
the... I mean, was the crossroads
the crossroads bit
underneath Monkey Island? Because it did look a bit like the Chuck's...
I thought it was underneath the Rock of Gelato.
Is it?
Or wasn't the Rock of Gelato where they were fighting?
That's where they were fighting.
I don't know, I couldn't really tell where they were fighting at the end of the game.
Underground lair underneath the monkey head. A bit. All that lava and stuff. But then just randomly, a Winslow turns up.
It just seemed like this nondescript hellish area. But I think it was meant to be like... Wasn't it meant to be in the real world?
Yeah, I thought
Monkey Island.
Because
Nipperkin turned up.
Because didn't Winslow show up?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
I found the map. Yeah, I think he was going around the Caribbean and just ravaging everything.
I should get off that Tony raft and escape. Oh, yeah, that's what happened to the monkey.
Where I saw the Loom comparison. Not just with the fact that there were these rifts that you were traveling through, but with the fact that there was sort of this apocalypse. It was sort of like this bad version of the world where everyone's being killed by, you know, the zombies or, you know,
We're back. Yeah,
I guess LeChuck in this game.
Yeah, the skeletons are back.
That's, yeah.
They've been aimed for the last episode, or last 12 years.
I can't believe I just said there were zombies and looms. I'm so sorry.
I thought you were just trying to mislead JP a bit so that you would have something left to play.
Yeah,
JP, another spoiler, there are no zombies in Loom. I'm sorry.
I'll be sitting there going, I've got to get that disc version of this game.
A few swans, above that.
Yeah.
Good old Loom.
Oh, I'm going to play Loom again.
But I think for... another series, though.
You have 15 minutes to spare. Go ahead.
Sorry, go on. You were talking about Steam. Are you? Or am I?
Yeah, they've dropped off those releases a little bit. Like I said, not even LEGO Indie 2 and Force Unleashed made it to Steam for some strange reason. Although
I suspect they're going to keep going. They're just doing it slower than I would like. I imagine they'll finish up with the adventure games eventually. And I think... Monkey Island 2 Special Edition has got to have something to do with that.
The thing is, if they're making that, there's the big iMuse problem with that, which is the fact that, is there a way to do that and improve the audio?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to possibly handle it. Look, all that matters is that they do what they did with the first game, which is provide the old version of the game to toggle with, and then they can attempt to update it with whatever degree of success they're able to do.
If they could do that, that would be extremely valuable to them, I think. If it was like an updated version that sounded great but did the same as the old one, that would make them more money than the games they're making in terms of licensing it out to other companies. So it's definitely something that I think that they would be interested in improving. Because
What I would like to see more than anything else in a Monkey Island Special Edition is a gallery, in the menu with all the original scans. Yeah. All the original paintings scanned in high res.
I think that's what they're going to do with Monkey Island 2. They're not going to make their own art and just carry on.
I definitely hope
scanning the old ones again.
Yeah, they could. They could paint over them.
It's a tricky
them,
situation because
that will cut down
because,
some time,
like,
at least.
Well, my understanding is that the paintings for Monkey Island 2 are kind of somewhere in between concept art and the actual backgrounds because, like, they were scanned, but they were also touched up and. They changed a few things after they, you know, were in computerized form. But I definitely agree. I mean, they need to be used in some way. They need to be used at least as a starting point because, I mean, that's some
good art,
great
yeah.
art. And I mean,
that's part of the reason why the second one of those, why I'm the third one I came at it. Just the art style. It's hard to think about it when it's all blocky and pixelated, but it is really great art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the guy, the so-called crazy German guy who made it in Crisis, he got it because it was the atmosphere that came across. And I know it was effectively the same as the 2D one, it was just had a bit of depth to it, but it was... That suddenly, you know, you could imagine if LucasArts could do that with the whole game, it would look unbelievable.
Yeah. That still looks really cool, that one.
I wouldn't hold your breath for that, though.
But no. I'm interested to see. I mean, didn't they hint at March for other announcement or release?
That's just another announcement. They tend to announce their announcements now, and then the announcement is just about...
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
What they said about March was that it would be, like, a special month for Monkey Island fans or something to that effect. So
did they actually say that? That's quite good.
I mean, that's particularly what literally, either an announcement of Monkey Island 2 Special Edition. They can't not do it, unless they look at the music and tell it. Because the first one did them so well. And they're obviously waiting for something to release them all on Steam.
You know, we haven't seen Maniac Mansion or Day of the Tentacle yet on Steam. I don't know what conclusions we can draw from that.
Max or Grimm.
I mean, we haven't seen Full Throttle either.
Any of the Tim Schafer ones.
It wouldn't surprise me. You see, that... Speaking of, you know, opportune times to re-release things at retail.
Tim Schafer ones.
I think Sam and Max Season 3, now that LucasArts and Telltale are buddy-buddy now, I think it'd be a great excuse to hit the road back.
I think they should have released the Tim Schafer ones for Brutal Legend.
That is
that
a bit...
Yeah,
they would have been...
I don't think anybody but us is going to recognize the connection there.
Well, they do... All the reviews and things like that go on about how he's the creator of Psychonauts and Grim Fandango. That's the one that everyone points, that they all point out. But Full Throttle would have been a good one.
We need to see Grim up there. But, well, obviously, we need to see all the adventure games on Steam.
Yeah, it's all on there. Available for all time.
And I like that they're also putting their good legacy console games on the virtual console. Hmm. Zombies Ate My Neighbors, Greatest Adventures, those are great.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see the Nintendo Maniac Mansion up there.
I want
Shadows of the Empire.
Infernal Machine, the N64 version.
Yeah, because wasn't that like a Rare version
of the
game? It
was only released in America and only in Blockbuster stores for some reason. Right at the end of
the N64. It was like only from the LucasArts store or something ridiculous like that. It was like you could only get it from LucasArts or something.
Yeah. LucasArts marketing.
I bet their contracts were active with Blockbuster too.
Yeah, that was at the end of the N64's lifespan as well. And it's got so advanced for it that you can't even emulate it.
I left a comment to this effect in the Force Unleashed 2 news post, but that trailer really makes me want to see LucasArts hit Indiana Jones again.
Stop it!
We need a new Indiana Jones game.
I'm dying. But yeah... Who here has actually played Force Unleashed to the end?
I haven't.
I haven't played it to the beginning.
Okay.
I've played the first couple of scenes in the Wii version, but I understand that's
end,
pretty
though.
Below class compared to the other next gen consoles versions.
Yeah, at least the 360 version is playable. But no, it's good. I did enjoy it, but no, I can't spoil the ending then. Oh no, my. Let's just say the ending doesn't. And connect to that trailer in any way. not to spoil things. The Sith edition carries on from the bad ending, the non-canon Star Wars ending. But I'm presuming the sequel's going to carry on from the official ending, but that doesn't work at all. Hint, hint.
If anyone can retcon LucasArts, that's Ken.
Yeah.
LucasArts had been saying that a PC version of the game was impossible, and then lo and behold, the port came out.
The crap level, right?
But it supposedly sucks, yeah. Right?
But then they brought a patch out since that allows you to change the graphical settings and stuff.
Oh god,
so
yeah.
The initial version came out, it was pretty much the Xbox version with no way to change the graphics. Yeah, then they patched it.
And not on Steam. That's why I haven't got it. Fortunately. But if there's a patch, that might be better. Should we start to wrap this up?
Yeah, I've got some work to do.
I suppose so.
Sure.
Either getting tired in Dan's case, or what, going
yes.
to bed in my case.
Yeah, I need to go to bed. I have a meeting in the morning, unfortunately.
And JP's got to play Loom after all.
Yeah, and I've got to go back to bed.
I've got 2 hours, so I have to go and get the kids from school, so I'll try and get it started and finished in that space, huh?
Oh yeah. You'll get it before you reach the first stop sign. You'll be done with that game. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Look out for the results of the podcast jingle contest
in a few seconds,
soonish.
Yeah,
hopefully you're about to hear it, in fact. Possibly you're about to hear it.
Yeah.
Unless it's...
Maybe, or you heard it at the beginning.
Unless all of them
were
just crap.
I don't know.
In which case, we'll probably play the Mojo theme again, something.
Yeah, I think our readers have got to be more talented than that. I mean, I've not really heard anything, but I've got high hopes for this. Someone's got to have pulled something out of the bag.
Yeah, I hope so. Something really catchy.
We'll see. Yeah. If not, you know, we'll just have to send a vampire story back to Bill Tiller and see what happens, because it might be, might be bad news.
I'm going to do that, too. I'm going to send it to Bill Tiller and be like, nobody...
Wrote us a jingle, can you do one, please?
...had the creative drive to earn this game.
And
that,
he will quit.
That is brutally cruel. To a man, when he's down, you're just stamping on his face. Bill...
Yeah, come on, a vampire story.
Bill,
please, Bill,
we couldn't even give it away, Bill. Just have it back. That's what...
A Vampire Story is great, though, and I really hope the sequel gets announced or re-announced, because from the sounds of things, it does. I don't even know if Autumn Moon has personnel anymore. Bill Tiller, like, moved to Boston or something after possibly firing everybody?
I think he's...
I don't know what's going
he's
on.
He's potentially actually on the lam from Creditors, and that's why he's gone to Boston. No, I'm only joking. I'm being cruel. I think his games look very good, and I do intend to play them. And I think it's good that we're giving some of them away, because any kind of advertising we could do for Bill is good.
Yeah.
Oh, I non-sarcastically think that A Vampire Story is great, and that Ghost Pirates look great. I just very fearful for Autumn Moon's financial situation.
Yeah, I just hope Ghost Pirates is actually a self-contained game that doesn't require sequels to make sense.
Yeah.
At any rate,
we know he'll be fine.
I guess
he can walk into any.
Everything will be fine.
Yes.
Yes. There'll be a new Indiana Jones game soon, and The Vampire Story 2 will be re-announced, coming out February.
All right. I'm gonna extend this by 2 more seconds and ask if what would you guys say, like, if LucasArts was announcing a new Indiana Jones game, what developer would you most prefer make that game?
Oh God,
Indiana Jones.
Who's
the best studio to make an Indiana Jones game?
From what I've seen,
because every freaking 3D Indiana Jones game has just been Tomb Raider light. Like
Crystal Dynamics, then
they haven't been terrible, but I mean they've been kind of shockingly mediocre. And I just think that...
Maybe Crystal Dynamics, then, but they're sort of owned by Eidos. It'd have to be someone who isn't owned by anyone. So no Naughty Dog for Uncharted.
I always wanted to see see Indiana Jones being put into a more of an RPG style setting where you have quests to go on, you've got to gather around companions, you know, all the movies, he has good companions short round and his dad and whatnot. So maybe you have a more of an RPG style game, maybe with the Knights of the Old Republic style graphics where you've got some third person off you go adventuring.
I've just got an image of battle mode within his dad getting his umbrella out.
But there's something more epic and more quest based than shooting Germans.
Yeah.
Yeah, an adventure game might be a good idea.
As we all know, but I don't think that'd be very realistic.
I know.
I wasn't joking.
Well, we're not truly expecting it. Hoping to God, but not gonna know it's not gonna happen.
Well, I think, you know, from the sounds of it, there's a lot of new games that I've not played, but like Dragon Age and things that seem to mix enough genres that if you just plugged that indie into that, that would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'll work. Go the battle thing. Maybe more of a Mass Effect rather than the turn-based. Like taking cover and things like that, because they're doing quite well with the action things. Yeah.
See, well, I'm also still waiting for the good action-adventure game that they never made. Oh. I mean, I don't think they've really succeeded with that yet.
No, yeah.
What, RTX Red Rock is no good for you?
Well, I'm talking specifically Indiana Jones. I don't think like that. You know, they've tried to make him into a 3D action adventure game, which seems like a totally obvious fit.
Yeah, yeah.
But they
Infernal Machine's
really...
fine for me.
Well, it's fine.
Don't get me started.
I know.
Anyway, I guess we're really ending this time.
And this is the collective comeback. The collective don't even exist anymore, so it can't be them.
All right.
Okay.
So this is it.
Have a good 2009, everyone.
Hanging out.
Happy Christmas and all. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, happy New Year.
Bye. You know, that reminds me of the ending of Loom.